songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Boy Destroy over Zoom video. Born and raised in Sweden, Boy Destroy talks about where he grew up and how he got into music. He wrote his first song at 8 years old. I know, isn't that incredible? He said he wrote it about a bad dream he had. It's called Dark Blue. He even remembered most of the song, sang it to us, which is really cool. He did say, though, after learning a few chords at 8, 9 years old, he put the guitar down for a little while and didn't pick it up until right before high school. And that's when he really, really got into guitar. He ended up going to music school. So he talked about that, talked about the audition process to get into the school and how he kind of used to be an outcast in his middle school. He had long hair, he had the painted nails. And then when he went to the music school, he was really embraced. So that definitely had quite the positive impact on him and his music. He joined the jazz band. He did that for a while, started a band with his girlfriend at the time. He talked about that. He talked about getting a job as a promoter, a club promoter at 17. He talked to us about a very dark time in his life that he had to overcome. And that's what encouraged him to write the song War Paint, which became the tone for the EP War Paint that he just released. You can watch the interview with Boy Destroy and myself on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be awesome if you subscribe to our channel and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Boy Destroy.
Thank you so much for doing this. Super excited.
Thank you. I've been looking forward to it.
Very cool. Yeah. So our podcast is all about you, man, your journey in music and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah. Perfect.
Cool. Cool. I did read from Switzerland.
Sweden.
Sweden. Sorry. My bad. Let's start that again. Cool, man. Thank you so much for doing this. So I did read you're from Sweden. Tell me what that's correct. Like. All right, cool, man.
I wish I would have said Switzerland there. That would be really funny. I'm sorry.
What part of Sweden?
I'm from Sweden, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty good place for music, I think. There's a really lively music export scene and like music from Sweden. That's quite powerful, I think. So quite happy and lucky to be born here.
What part are you from? Like, pretty, like, are you from, like, the capital? Like, are you from where the music is going on? Like, tell me whereabouts in Sweden you're from.
I'm from a place called Gothenburg, which is the second largest city in Sweden. So I've been living in Stockholm, the capital, as well. But right now I'm here. I'm born and raised here in Gothenburg.
Very cool. I mean, you have, like, Max Martin. Like, so much music comes out of there. That's what I was curious.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Very cool, man. Well, so how did you get into music originally?
From the beginning, I think I was like a big music fan from when I was really, really small. Like my first favorite band was The Smiths.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, my brother got me into them and there was like Pixies and, you know, Smashing Pumpkins and stuff, which are some artists and bands that I'm still so inspired by, you know?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Some things never just leave you. And, well, I got into it like playing guitar pretty early and writing my own stuff. I wrote this song when I was 8 years old called Dark Blue, which was about a nightmare.
Wow.
This guy that kind of followed me and his name was Dark Blue.
Wow. 8 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, but, my gosh.
But I didn't get like, so I always had that kind of creative spirit, I think, but I was probably around 15 or something when I started, you know, practicing properly. And like I started playing jazz for a while during my high school years. And it's been a steady stream of metamorphosis that has led me to where I am.
Wow. Well, at 8, were you playing guitar at that point?
I started playing guitar very early.
How old were you when you started playing guitar?
Probably 8 or something.
Oh, okay.
I started like learning a few chords and stuff. But I didn't get my... Like, I didn't start practicing until much later.
Oh,
you
okay.
Know, when you've played the chords that, you know, like 4 million times, you want to learn a fifth one. So,
well, wow. So, was Dark Blue like a full on, you know, music and everything song?
No, I think it was like a really short song. I think it was like Dark Blue is Dead. It's a night of rage. Dark blue is dead. It's a night of rage. And then four more lines that I can't remember now.
Right on.
Yeah, it was really short song, but I remember it very clearly. So I had
obviously you still remember the some of the lyrics. That's funny. Yeah. When you said high school is when you start really kind of taking it more seriously. Like, how old were you when you started playing guitar more?
Yeah, maybe it's like a year before high school that I like started taking it seriously. I was really into punk rock and stuff at the time, which is not like the genre you would normally look at for serious musicians, maybe. But that kind of got me into, I wanted to write good songs because it was so amazing how like bands like Blink-182 that I love, they had these four chords and they could write a million songs and I couldn't. So I wanted to learn that. And then like when I started high school, I had some music teachers and stuff, and that kind of depth into the knowledge of what goes into the making of these songs.
Got it. You said jazz for in high school. That's like pretty complicated though, right?
Yeah, I was really into that for a while, like jazz fusion stuff. I love Django Reinhardt, like old jazz guitarist. I was really dead set on being a super good jazz player. So that was my goal for a couple of years there. And yeah.
Wow. So you were in the school band as a guitar player?
Yeah, I went to music school.
Oh, so, wow. Okay. Yeah. Tell me about that a little bit.
It was really great. You know, I went from being this super outcast, I guess, loner type in my school I was to prior, you know, elementary school or whatever you call it. We have slightly different systems, I think.
Sure.
I had long hair and I painted my nails and stuff. So I wasn't really like the jock of the football team or something.
Right.
Then I started this music school and like everything that had set me apart kind of was like, well, that's pretty cool about you, you know? So it was really quite a lot of good things happened then. And I gained like self-confidence slightly.
Sure.
What was.
Or did you have to audition to get into the school, or was it kind of like, oh
yeah, it was audition based.
Oh, so wow. Talk to me about that. Yeah. Did you have to audition did you go in as a guitar player?
Yeah. Guitar player. And then I had vocals as my secondary instrument.
What was the process like to get in? Do you remember?
Yeah. I played three songs and I sang as well. So I think I played Stay Together for Their Kids by Blink-182.
Blink? Okay.
I improvised. And I think I played Bad Things, the True Blood theme song. I taught myself that. So I sang and played it and played the solo and stuff. And it was one more song. I don't remember. Probably something by All Time Low or something.
Pop punk. Cool.
Yeah.
That's rad. And then they obviously let you in. And then you joined the jazz band.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, some other musicians that were better, but I think they liked the fact that I wasn't like guitar or vocals. I kind of could do both and wanted
Okay. Yeah. And then when you got there, did you start a band or like now you're around people that all play music?
Yeah. Yeah. So I started my first band second year. We did like indie pop, you know, because the Smiths have been such a big influence on me and, you know, indie bands that came after like, Pixies and Bombay Bicycle Club I loved for a while and an Unmortal Orchestra.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So I had this like guitar indie band back then with my first girlfriend actually.
Really?
Yeah. So I started my first band. We started playing some shows and that was kind of my first encounter.
What were those first shows? Were you guys just booking like local, I mean, obviously local, but tell me like what those were like.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of strange things started happening in my life at this time. Cause I went from being, as I said, this outcast type into being like, pretty popular, whatever you would call it. So I started working as a promoter for a nightclub at 17.
Wow.
Yeah. So I played there for a few times with my band.
But you were booking bands and trying to promote shows at the venue?
Yeah, kind of. I was helping with the booking. I just think, like, the in retrospect, I think the guy who ran the club thought I was, he thought it was pretty cool that I was this super young kid that loved music as well and looked up to him a little bit. So he kind of enjoyed having me around, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool. And gave you a job. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, then what's next for you? I mean, that band, what, fizzles out? Or you guys break up or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And when does Boy Destroy start? Fairly quickly after that? Or was this a project that was more recent?
No, that was like quite a few years ago. So after that, I think I dabbled a little bit. You know, I had some projects that really didn't go anywhere. And like what I wrote my first EP is about is like I felt like gradually I got into like heavy addiction and stuff. And I started drinking more and more. And stuff that really started at working in the club life kind of. So
sure. I mean, it's easy to get wrapped up in that.
Yeah. And especially if you've been kind of an outcast all your life and all of a sudden you're a person in some kind of status.
Right.
Status among people, you know. So I had some, I moved to Stockholm to make it as a musician, but I mostly just did stupid stuff, you know.
Okay, I got you.
After that, I moved home to Gothenburg to become sober. Okay. And that was kind of when that took a year to get sober.
Yeah. Congratulations. I've got four years on.
Do you have 4 years?
Yeah. 4 years.
That's really cool, man.
Thank you. Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah.
I understand the difficulty there. So congratulations on that, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, so that kind of happened there as I moved back to Gothenburg and I started to, I've been so locked up all my life. I'd never talked about these things and I never talked about my feelings. And then I kind of started living in recovery and I started hanging out with other sober people. And I started talking about that shit and that kind of became my EP, you know?
Oh, so this new record is kind of about that.
Totally, 100%. So I kind of wrote about all these things that I kept locked up for so long.
Isn't it amazing how, like, when you're in it, like, you just, like, numb out all those feelings, and then, like, when you're like, I love that you just said, you start feeling, like,
yeah,
you know, it's, like, so bizarre.
Yeah, it's really unusual, you know, at first, like, I'm scared right now, so my instinct is always, well, then I should not be scared.
Do something that makes you not scared anymore.
Yeah, I know how to stop that, you know, for a little while, but you know, it's not always pleasant now, and I'm not always like happy-go-lucky, but I have these tools to kind of manage my feelings now, and it's a process. I hopefully I get a little bit better every day, and
yeah, that's all you can hope for, right?
Yeah, that's a good life.
Wow. So tell me about the EP then. So when do you start writing the EP? Like how, I mean, you just released it this year. Yeah. I mean, last month, right? It's only been out for a couple of weeks. But where were you? Were you in the sober living when like the pandemic hit? And like how quickly after that did you start writing this record? Like tell me timeline wise where this all kind of.
Like I think kind of the, like one or two other songs are written when I was still kind of in totally within it and I couldn't like see straight. So I kind of had to get some words out, but a song like War Paint that's written when everything was really fresh, kind of in the beginning of the pandemic, or at least the, like the kernel that became War Paint later, you know, but those lyrics was kind of unlocked the entire EP for me because I realized that I could talk about these things. And that was more interesting than whatever, you know, egotistical lies I could dream up.
Sure. Kind of. So War Paint was the first song that you wrote that kind of set the tone for the album?
Because I kind of showed myself and others that I could like be honest and talk about these things. And it wasn't as bad as maybe I'd imagined, but it was still scary as hell. And it's still scary, you know. But,
sure. I mean, you're being super vulnerable. Now you're sharing all these feelings that you didn't want to even have in the beginning, right? Now you're sharing them with everybody.
Yeah.
Was it, what did you like, what was it like to just release the first song and be like, okay, let's see what this does?
First song really was the scariest because it really was the scariest by far, just because I hadn't, since I kind of tried to get away from that life, you know, there's so many people that I haven't, well, a lot of people that I have talked to and that are happy I'm doing better, but a lot of people that still aren't like happy about the road I took, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
There's some haters?
Yeah, because it kind of mirrors themselves, you know. I think because if they see, it's like, if I acknowledge that I have a problem, then
they must have as well,
and they can admit that. So then it's like,
that's interesting. I didn't
have a problem, and you're lying, like basically.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense, because now they're seeing you and you doing great and not partaking what they're still doing. And it's like, well, he doesn't really have that big of a problem. Like, what's his deal? Yeah. They're not looking in the mirror at themselves. It's interesting.
Yeah. So that was something I've kind of experienced a little bit, but mostly I've just been really lucky about all those things, I think, because the amount of love I received for this EP has been incredible. And I feel blessed beyond belief.
I love that. When did you, was like when you wrote War Paint, was that and started the, you know, you said that kind of set the tone for the record, were you Boy Destroy at that point, or did you start this whole project kind of at the same time?
I wasn't like, no, because I think that song was really when I started like writing and talking about these things, I in some way had still the idea that maybe it fit some past project that I worked on, basically. Mm-hmm. But then as that song progressed, and it felt like this is like nothing else I've ever done, because it's influenced by all these things that are me, you know, like alternative rock and grunge and hip hop and punk and pop punk and stuff like that, which is so far from everything I'd done before. Plus it's super honest. So that was kind of a gradual thing that as this War Paint and then the other songs took place, it felt like this is it was such a rebirth, like musically, and it had to be a rebirth in every sense of the word, kind of.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now you have a new outlook on life, new kind of persona, so to speak, and a new, you got all the songs out there. I mean, the one that's really big on Spotify I'm looking at is You Don't Want Me When I'm Sober, which is an interesting, you know, I'm sure that was a difficult song to write.
Yeah,
and have it be the most streamed one on the record, that must have been pretty validating.
Yeah, definitely. That's like for me, that's like a really angry song, because it's, as I was saying before, it's really directed towards the people that I kind of felt turned their backs on me when I tried to do better and be better. But in all fairness, I think I turned my back on them a little bit as well, because I had to distance myself. And
well, you had to, right?
Yeah,
I can't imagine. I mean, that's one of the first things they teach you, is to kind of cut the ties with all the toxic, all the people that are still partaking in that, because all they're going to do is pull you back into it.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations, man. Again, that's
Thank
huge.
Thank you so much.
So now you're in the pandemic. That must have been not only did you just start, you know, kind of starting with that new life as far as like sober living and stuff, now you're stuck inside it in the pandemic. I'm sure that didn't like make it any easier on you.
No, because I want to say yes and no, because you know, the whole live thing has always been like half of being a musician, at least in my head, you know, playing shows and booking shows and stuff like that. But that's been really, well, there's nothing, you know.
Right.
So that's left me with a huge amount of time. And luckily for me, the guys that I made this EP with, the producers and I guess I wrote it, the music with, they live quite close to where I live. So I've had a huge amount of time to just sit in the studio with them and create new stuff. So it's kind of a double bladed sword.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm thinking too, like, but just being alone with your thoughts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like now you don't have like the escape to go do something outside or to kind of take your mind off of it all. You're just, now you're at home like, okay, now what? You know what I mean? Like, I've talked to a lot of people that were like, well, now that I'm inside, like, all I want to do is, you know, drink or do this or that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, for me, at least, it's been pretty good. You know, I try to meditate and I try to be, stay present. And I have a great girlfriend who I live with who's my best friend.
It's amazing. So,
yeah.
Very cool. She's a good advocate for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, well, when you, I mean, you just released a record, like we said a couple of weeks ago. Sure. Was that a hard decision to make during this pandemic? Or was there a thought of like, let's wait a little bit because maybe we'll be able to play these songs out? Or was it just, let's just get it out there?
I think it was more like a, just, let's just get it out there kind of thing. Because nobody knows how long the pandemic will last and maybe we won't survive it.
Right.
Pretty dark, but I mean, like,
sure.
We're all gonna die, man.
At some point.
At some point, that's the truth, though. But I mean, yeah. So I think it just kind of fitted the whole thing as well. You know, people are struggling even in a million ways. You know, and the EP thing about pushing through that and finding strength and. Not only, but it has elements of that. And yeah, it's felt like a pretty good time to release it.
Love it. What about like, how are you guys on the pandemic as far as like lockdown? Are you guys still pretty stuck? I know here in the States, some things are starting to open up and like festivals are being booked for like the fall. So I don't know where you guys are at as far as that goes.
Not like, I don't think we're, festivals and stuff are being booked for like next summer, I think. So we're a bit behind maybe. I think Sweden's been really open generally, but
right
now we have like a huge amount of infected. So I'm not sure how.
Oh, your numbers are going back up?
Yeah, I think so. I don't keep that updated more than what I hear here and there, you know.
Right.
But yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully things will open up more sooner than later. And then you'll be able to get out and play these songs. I did see that you go on your Instagram pretty frequently, right? And play.
Yeah. Yeah.
You enjoy
I really like that because I love music. So I love playing different kinds of music, you know, and it's what I do. So why not like put a camera up and hopefully someone will enjoy it, you know?
Yeah. Is it fun to do those things? I mean, I'm sure it was probably pretty weird the first time you did it.
A little bit weird, yeah. But it's kind of what being an artist today is, I think. That is kind of expected of you. And I don't have that much of a problem with it.
That's good. Kind of have to adapt to what you can do, right?
Yeah, kind of. You know, I wouldn't go on TikTok and do dances and stuff, but I
you won't.
I can play covers, you know, because I do that every day.
Oh, you do a cover every day?
Not every day, but I mean,
pretty often.
Almost every day, I sit down and try to play some song, you know. So I might as well put a camera up and film it, you know.
I love that. What have you been trying to learn recently?
There's always something different, but I've gone back to some like Jeff Buckley songs many, many years, like Lover You Should Have Come Over. I never properly learned that. It's got so many beautiful chord changes, but I've been playing that a little bit and like Disarm with Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, that's my favorite Smashing Pumpkins song. That's really, such a beautiful song.
Yeah,
yeah, that's such a great, I mean, if you just strip back and like lyrically and melodically, that's my favorite song that Billy Corgan's ever wrote.
Pretty much same, but he's done a few really great ones. Yeah, he's done a lot of
Done a lot of really great ones, but that one, just even though it was like a big hit, like that song still to me is the best Smashing Pumpkins song.
Yeah. It's beautiful, like the whole, like the instrumentation and everything. It's so stripped back, but still so like powerful when it kicks. And this is a very good song.
I love it. Very cool. Thank you so much, man, for taking time and hanging out with me and chatting with me today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. I do have one more question for you. Do you have any advice for aspiring artists?
At least for me, I was always looking for like an easy way, like a hack and a glitch in the matrix that I could push through so I wouldn't have to practice so hard. But I think the advice that I wish I would have gotten, that I'm sure I did get told a million times, is like that there are no shortcuts. There never was, you know, like one in a billion is a Bieber who's born with a voice of an angel, you know, but most of us aren't. And we can still reach really heights, but we have to work really hard to get there.